The following audio is from Lifehouse Church. We hope you are blessed by this message and encourage you to connect with us on social media or at lifehousechurch.org.
I'm going to start this message off today with some personal connection. And just let me give you a little tidbit about that. This probably applies to any kind of communicator, but especially in a pastoral sense. Whenever your pastors do that, whenever they give you a personal example, believe me, it is not to make the situation about us at all. No, Scripture is about all of us. But when your pastors want to connect with you and give you an example of something personal from what we're about to speak about today, it's so we can try to do the difficult task of bringing context and principles from 2,000 years ago into a relevance that we can understand today. Now, also uniquely in this situation, I want to add something personal in there because today I get to connect with two campuses that I don't normally get to connect with. So big shout out to Seaberg and Freddie Rock. I love you guys both, and it is my privilege to be here with you sharing today. So listen, let me just start off with two personal examples of what we're going to talk about today. So I have a family, a beautiful family. I have three kids, and they're all young adults. Isn't it hard to believe? Anyway, listen. So my daughter, my middle child, my daughter, 4 months ago, I shared a picture with the Hagerstown campus, a picture of her first car smashed. And she was in a head-on collision. That's what I shared with the church. Really scary. She's okay. But man, it was a scary thing to go through. Definitely had her mom and I worried, you know, getting that phone call. And, you know, we get done that. And not too much longer after that, she is in another accident. This time it was the snow. You know, she was going to drive her car, and I should have stopped her, but I said, at least take mine. I had an SUV, and I said, drive mine. Mine's older. And sure enough, I didn't want her smashing her car up. She smashed mine. It was the snow's fault. She spun out of control, took out a sign, totaled, right? 2 weeks ago, she's on Interstate 81, 65 miles an hour, and somebody crashes into the back of her, sends her crashing into the car in front of her. And for the third time in 3 months, we get that frantic phone call where when you answer, there's not even words yet, just breathing and noise, and you're, oh my gosh, I don't want to put anybody through that, but like, I can't take too many more of them. Like at this point, I really am considering, like, does Uber have some kind of subscription? I don't know how much more of that I can actually take. Man, that's a good picture of like an emergency, as a matter of fact, concerning our safety and physical health. So I got that going on. Now let me go over here. Let me talk about my wife. So my wife, for most of her adult life, my wife has suffered from depression. We probably didn't realize it much until, you know, postpartum stage, like after she'd had our last child, it really started to manifest, and that grew into anxiety disorder. You know, so we're talking about 2007 until now, you know, that we've been kind of living with, managing and dealing with different levels of severity of this, medications, doctors, hospitalizations, all that. On top of that, she's also had chronic back pain. Now, when I say back pain, your back just started to hurt. I know all y'all deal with back pain. You don't like the chairs we got you sitting in right now. Your back's hurting right now. But what I mean is, you know, she had a condition that was going to require surgery. And we eventually got the surgery, which is a whole other story on its own. But as two people that I love and care about, I saw what we're going to talk about today. I saw Jesus in a similar situation. I saw him in the middle of two medical needs of a daughter, a young girl, and a young woman. So I'm going to take you into the scripture that talks about this story today. And it's kind of ironic. It was, I think, almost a year ago that I was on video to you guys in Frederick, and we talked about this exact same scripture. It's a story that's pretty popular. We all know it. It's growing in popularity. So, Seberg, we're going to catch you up. But if we're charting the right way, I guess I'll see you guys again next year. We're going to talk about the same story if history's telling anything. But let me go into the scripture. This is from the Gospel of Marky Mark. Let's feel the vibrations. This is chapter 5, verse 21. Through 24. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. This is normally Jesus' scene right here. A large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, that's very, very important, one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly. See, I didn't have to say these words, but you better believe that I was scared of these words. You get that phone call, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. First thing I want you to see here is that this guy Jairus represented a group of people that did not like Jesus. Not only did they not like him, they had a serious beef with Jesus. As a matter of fact, we're only four chapters in, and according to Mark's gospel, they've already decided that they want to take him out. They already have plans to kill Jesus. This is the circle of people. These are the guys that Jairus is at the office with every day. These people that want to kill Jesus. It's my guess that Jairus probably had an expectation on him to hate Jesus, despise him, avoid him, not believe in him. I mean, he probably even contributed to some of the talk that would happen around the water cooler. You know, like, water into wine. Yeah, right. It's probably Boone's Farm. You know, like, just stuff like that. Like, he probably was in the circle of not liking Jesus until he had a crisis, until he was desperate, until someone that he loved was in a matter of life and death, and then all of that criticism and all of those lies and all of those things to avoid about Jesus, they all went in a box to the left, and he went right to Jesus. What I want you to see from this scripture is that you, just like Jairus, you can go to Jesus with your crisis and pain. And here's the two things I want you to know about that point. First, it's you can go to Jesus, meaning you can go to Jesus as in Jesus is the one that you can turn to. Maybe you're here at our Seberg campus, our Frederick campus. Maybe you've been watching online for a while and today you gave Lifehouse a try and you came out. And maybe, just maybe you come from a family or a community group that, just like Jairus's group, didn't believe in Jesus, don't like him, despise him, whatever, you know. Or maybe I don't have a problem with it, but we don't believe and we don't do that. Maybe you come from a family like that because of you have a different faith or a different religion. The first thing I want you to hear, if you are here and that is you, you have no idea how glad we are to have you here. And it's not because of some like conversion mission. I know what you're thinking, like you're in a church, that's our whole job. No. Our job today really as a community is to welcome you home, period. We welcome you into this community, this family. You're welcome here, even if you don't believe what we believe about Jesus. And even if you don't, do you know that you can go to Jesus? You can go to him with your crisis and pain. Maybe you feel like you're the only one in your biochemistry class. You're the only one that doesn't think God is a joke or that Jesus is a Narnia character, and you feel all alone. But do you know that you, even in the expectations that you're around, you have access to, and you can go to Jesus, and you can go to him with your crisis and with your pain. And one of the first things that you can go to him about with your crisis and pain is you can go to him with your painful questions. You can go to him like, God, why? Why this? Why this way? God, why did this happen to me? God, why do some people get healed and some people don't? And God, most importantly today, for the love of you, why is Spencer holding a box? I mean, Spence, come on, man. Like, we're like 10 minutes into the message and you haven't said anything about it. You haven't talked to us about it. You haven't acknowledged it. You're just walking around carrying it, pretending as if like maybe it's not there. Like you don't have one. Like we're not supposed to see it. You're just holding it. Like, Spence, why are you carrying that? Exactly. Why? Why are you carrying that? You see how difficult it's been for me to do the sweet spot for a communicator is hold the mic in one hand, scroll and do your notes with the other, but this thing, just gonna rest it here. I'm carrying this because I'm a responsible adult, right? This is mine. This is mine. This is what I've been dealt. This is what I have, and it's my job to carry it. This thing is mine. Psychologists say, let me back up. This series, which I love how we titled it, this series, Don't Worry. Ain't that genius? So easy, right? Don't worry. If I said it in a Jamaican accent, would you believe me more? Don't worry. That's the title of our series. And we're going to talk about a lot of the worries that we have in life. Today, I want to hone in on the one that we see happening in this story of Jairus and the woman. And there's another woman in the story. I want to get to her section of the story. They had health needs. On our top 10, psychologists say in our top 10 list of worries, health is number 4. Now, at any given time, though, health can skyrocket to the top, right? If I get a phone call, again, from a state trooper, like, health of my daughter goes to the number 1 spot. But even still, number 4, it's pretty high up there. Our physical well-being and our health has a lot of weight on our life. And it's something that we can carry around. And when we carry it around, we're carrying it around with our worry. And when we carry the condition around, the situation, the diagnosis, the challenge, the emergency, whatever it is, when we carry it around with our worry, it becomes this undeniable, no matter how much we try to pretend like you can't see it or that it doesn't affect everything I'm trying to do, it becomes a burden. A burden, meaning a weight, a constriction, a stress. When we carry the burdens of our conditions, they will affect our entire lives. And no matter how much we try to deny that it doesn't, or pretend like there's not an elephant in the room or a box in the room, there is, and everyone can see it in your life. The woman in the story that I'm about to go into in the next part of the scripture, man, it's my guess that she probably carried around a box just like this. And here's the thing. Let me show you something. If you paid attention, this is the box that I started with. Right here. And it hasn't changed in size. And even when it comes to something like our health and our well-being, even if the condition hasn't changed, the urgency hasn't grown, the cancer hasn't spread, even if when we carry it around with worrying about it, it grows. And it takes over our entire life. My guess is that this woman that we're about to see, she carried around, even if she didn't want to, she had to carry around the burdens of a condition that she was facing. So she had a condition of bleeding for 12 years, the Bible said. And the reason why that's important is because blood during that time was something that people were not allowed to touch according to God's rules. If they went near it, they were now in trouble. They were what you call unclean. So if somebody was unclean, they were completely disassociated, ostracized, exiled. Like, sure, she was there, but no, she had no community, no connection, because nobody would risk their own behalf for her. And so she's living a life carrying that around. Her condition has affected her entire life, her social life, her dreams and her hopes, all that, because this condition of I cannot be in the community continues to go and continues. And it says that she tried doctors, she tried everything, and nothing worked. And then one day, Jesus comes through. Let me continue in verse 32. This is her story. She gets enough nerve and enough courage that, and enough faith that if she could just touch Jesus, she believes that she would be healed. So as Jesus comes through and there's a crowd, no one would notice her in the crowd. If they saw her on her own, they would know, you stay back, you can't. But she found a way to covertly get through the crowd, touch Jesus, and it worked. She was healed. And in that moment, Jesus realized that somebody touched him with that amount of faith, believing. He felt the power, and he turns and he looks for her. Verse 32, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. That's beautiful. That healing is a wonderful story. And I hope that I don't squelch someone's hope. But honestly, the healing in this story is not the victory. As great as it is, it's not the victory. It wasn't the victory for her, and it's not the victory for us today. Because what about any one of you who reached out with the exact same faith and the exact same hand to Jesus and didn't get the same healing? Some of you sadly know what I mean. Some of you could relate to the story I told about my daughter, and I'm sorry if it was triggering, because you know what it is to lose somebody in a car accident. What I feared. Some of you know, like my wife, who did eventually have the back surgery, and it was a disaster. She had a stroke during it. It was a nightmare. Some of you know what it's like to lose someone in a surgery. And so when I say that this healing that Jesus did for her wasn't the victory, I don't want to squelch your hope. There still is a victory here, and it's so great that I don't want you to miss it in what happened in the physical. If we were watching this episode of The Chosen, many of you have probably seen it. It's a beautiful episode. Let's say we were watching this episode and it played out just like you saw in scripture. But after the episode was over, it gave us a chance to go back and watch it with an alternate ending to this scene. I think it would play out exactly the same. She goes, she attempts to touch Jesus. She does. Jesus feels her faith. He stops, he turns around, he goes back to her, only she's not healed. She still has her condition. I believe that Jesus would do the exact same thing that he did when he healed her. He would look at her. He would come close to her. He would call her daughter. And he would tell her that she's freed from her suffering. Her suffering wasn't in the physical, the condition that she was in. Her suffering was from having to carry the burden around about it. He freed her from the burden of the worry and the social constructs and stress, because when everyone saw Jesus get close to her, whether he healed her or didn't, they don't know that. Just so you know, specifically, it's believed that her bleeding was like a menstrual thing. No one would know that but her. But when they saw Jesus get close to her and call her daughter, he calls her daughter, and everyone before called her sick. He called her free, and all she thought about herself was that she was restricted and constrained by this. He freed her from the burden that came from the sickness that was worse. Because you know what? Once they saw Jesus interact with her, I know, whether they knew she was healed or not, I know that someone in that crowd saw Jesus interact with her and said, well, if Jesus is getting close to her, maybe it's okay. Like, you know, like for real, like I've been feeling, she's been on my mind. I feel bad for her. Just because of what she's got going on, she can't connect with nobody. She probably could use a hug, but do you know how hard it is to give somebody a hug when they're holding a box? And so Jesus took it from her and freed her from the burden. Give Jesus your cares about your physical health, about anything. Give Jesus your cares and he will carry the burden. Let me give you one more personal story about that illustration that Jesus will carry the burden. Guys, I have a cousin who, he lost his leg. And like the most, you could never write out scenarios of how this could happen to someone. At his home, he lost a leg. I was in the hospital with him while they were going through the process. Just horrible. A medical emergency. He now has a medical condition, an amputated leg that's going to change his entire life. And I know that he and his wife and my aunt and my cousins and his sister, I know that they all at some point in time had to carry around the burden. They carried around the burden and the worry of what this would mean for his life and how it would impact everything from being a dad to going to work to just doing yard work around the house. Like, it was all going to change because of this new medical condition that he would have to heal from and learn to adapt to a prosthetic situation. It was just, but I do know this. I know at some point in time they did that. I know at some point in time they set that burden down, because it wasn't too long ago I saw his wife post a video of him in the backyard on the trampoline, literally with one leg, jumping for joy with his kids. Guys, that's it. That's it right there. You may have something going on in your physical health, but that does not mean it gets to take claim on your life. It doesn't mean that it gets to have claim on your heart. Even if the problem is something happening in your heart, it doesn't get to have your heart of hearts and your joy and your quality of life unless we carry it around. my cousin, he was not his amputation. You are not your cancer. You are not your miscarriage. You are not your disease. You are not your sickness. You are not your mental disorder. You are not anything that a list of medical conditions can define you by. You are not any of that. You are just like Jesus said to this young woman, you are a daughter and a son of God. You are a handmade miraculous creation by me, and you deserve to live a miraculous life no matter what you're going through. Guys, that's the miracle and that's the victory. Because I know that for so many of you, physical healing probably means everything to you right now, either on behalf of somebody else or for yourself. But let me give you a thought here. In both of these stories, Jesus delivers. He eventually goes and he heals Jairus' daughter. They think that she's dead. He brings her back to life. He healed this woman physically. But let me ask you, because I know many of you watch this. Have you ever seen either of these two? I don't want to be insensitive here. Just stay with me. Have you ever seen on a podcast interview either of these two ladies explaining what it was like to be healed or resurrected by Jesus? No, you haven't. You know why? Because even after those healings, they lived the course of their life and they eventually died again. They died. What I'm saying is that even a physical healing, though God is capable, he's done it before, he can do it again. But even a physical healing in this life is not enough. It's not enough. As beautiful and as wonderful as it is not enough. There is a burden of a sickness that none of us could bear. And it's the burden of a spiritual sickness of sin. And the spiritual sickness of sin is what drives us to commit acts of sin. And that sin will eventually take us to our death. And when our eternity begins, there's a medical bill that we cannot foot the bill for the cost of that sin. This is the burden that Jesus came to bear. This is the burden that Jesus came to carry. Jesus came to carry the burden of our sin to the cross. Jesus was willing to die, be crucified, give his life up on a cross so that we could be forgiven of those sins that come from that sin sickness and receive a true healing of our spirit and our soul from the sin and the consequence of sin. Jesus didn't stay dead. We're in the Easter season. And by the way, you need to be here at Lifehouse, at your campus in Chambersburg, in Frederick for Easter, and you need to bring somebody with you who you know needs to hear what Jesus did for them. And God brings Jesus back to life. That's why we celebrate Easter. And before I even go any further and close this out, I want to give you an opportunity that if you've never got the chance to express that to God, that you believe what Jesus did for you, he would die to be your healing. Give his life so that you can have a life that can never be taken. If you believe that, would you just tell Jesus yesterday? In your heart, in your mind, quietly, you ain't got to cause a scene. You can whisper it, but say, yes, Jesus, I believe. I believe you died for me. I believe God brought you back to life so I can have life. I want that. Yes, I believe. And please, Pastor Jay and Pastor Nelson, they are waiting to reach out to you, to welcome you and say, just like Jesus did, daughter, son of God, and welcome you into the family, but they can't do that unless you let us know. So please, I need you to scan the QR that's going to come up on the screen right now and let us know you made that decision for Jesus. Please. Guys, understanding that our healing comes from ultimately from Jesus is so important, not only for eternity, but for now. It is. You know, one of the promises that comes with a faith in Jesus is that we will one day have a body that the check engine light will never come on for again. There will never be another medical emergency or disease or sickness. That's what's awaiting us. And that's beautiful that it's awaiting us. But the reason why God brought Jesus back to life is to give us full, whole, complete life then and now. Now. No matter your condition or health circumstances, you guys know that to live life at its best takes energy. Everything takes energy. Smiling and laughing and have a conversation takes energy. Cleaning up your kids' toys takes energy. Cooking and cleaning takes energy. Going to work takes energy. Going to Chipotle takes energy. Everything takes energy from you. Worrying, carrying around the results that we have no bearings on. You know how much energy that worry drains? Do you know I wish I just had stuff to knock over. Do you know how much this burden gets in the way of the quality of your life and that it can be put down by handing it over to Jesus, releasing your worries? As we close today, I want you to take back the energy of your worry and make it your expression of worship. That energy you have is so valuable, and you need it for all of the things that God gave you to live and to love. And you need that energy. You can't let it be drained by carrying around a burden. Worry is only going to drain and restrict, but worship of God will replenish and release you from it. And so as we're closing, I just want to point you to a couple simple ways that you can take back that energy of worry and turn it into an expression of worship. And they're real simple, but they are so profound. One, let me ask you, are you still connecting with people? Because when we have a health concern or something going on, it has a way of isolating us. We say, I'm an adult. Okay, that's good. You own your life. I get it. You take responsibility. But that doesn't mean carrying it as a burden. Letting it keep you from receiving a hug because it's in the way. Because you won't even go out of your house and carry it. No. Don't isolate yourself. Are you staying connected to people? Do you have someone? Do you know that our body and physical health is a gift from God? Are you worshiping God by taking care of what He gave you? Are you feeding it good food? Are you putting in toxic things into it? Do you go to your doctor? Do you use your body? Do you take a walk? Do you walk your dog? Do you leave your couch? Married couples, are you? Yeah. Are you activating all of the wellness of your body? It's a gift from God. And if you worship Him, take care of it. It's not worshiping yourself. No. It's thanking God for what you have. That is a worship. Take care of what He gave you. This one's important. Again, this is worship to God. Do you have a posture and a heart of thankfulness? Are you thankful that the world that we live in right now has so many opportunities and access to health and healthcare? You know, when I think about the story of this young woman and what she was going through, it's so sad, but like, it probably was something simple in today. She experiences what she's going through. She goes to her OB, everything's okay. Like, it would have been, we live in a day and age where there is so much access to medicine and healthcare. I want to take a moment right now and I want to just give a big shout out. As a matter of fact, at the campuses, if you serve in any aspect of the medical field, will you stand, please? Can we recognize our EMTs, like the ones who came to my daughter's rescue at her accident, nurses, physicians, surgeons, med techs, everyone, thank you so much. There are people in labs right now fighting to find cures. Do you know that you are the miraculous healing power of God at work in our day and age? And I'm thankful for you. Like, I have a lot of stress stories I could share about, like, the surgery my wife went through. But I'm so thankful. I have her here. And it could have went different. But I thank medical professionals in modern medicine. God, thank you. Do you have that heart about what you're going through? There's plenty of countries around the world that can't say that. So I hope you have a state of gratitude and thankfulness of the healing that God has already brought you. Guys, don't let the condition of your life, don't let it rob you of your life. Don't let your health challenges keep you from living a full life. As we close, I'm going to let you know that we have prayer teams available. Should you be praying about a medical emergency, something going on in your health, you better be. You better be praying. Absolutely be praying. But the act of prayer is setting down that box. It's releasing the worry. You can't go any further than that. You do the best you can. You care for yourself. You do everything you can. Do everything you can. And then trust God to do all that he can. So as they're there, if you need to, as we go into this final closing song, if you would like to pray with someone about anything, doesn't have to be what we talked about today, but if you got that going on, go pray with someone. Let them pray over your situation, please. One more simple act of worship. We're gonna sing. Let's take everything that we talked about today. Let's put it into this song. Let's give our worship to the great physician. He's got this.
Thank you for listening to audio from Lifehouse Church. We believe that through Christ, life change happens here. So we invite you to connect with us further by visiting lifehousechurch.org.